Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, a conversation on how you can achieve retirement security, financial freedom, and the new American dream through rental property investments. And here's your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse.
Welcome to another episode of the Rent Estate Podcast, where we talk all things real estate investing, and we focus a lot on single family rental property investment. I'm your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. We're one of the nation's largest single family rental property managers, and we help our clients achieve financial freedom through real estate. So today's episode is part of our Corner to Corner series, where we're having conversations with talented leaders across the Renters Warehouse business from across the country and diving into specific characteristics of their local market. So things like what makes it unique, local market trends, major employers, and other investment tips, and really what makes it a good place to invest in real estate. So today we have Shannon O'Driscoll joining us. Shannon is our market leader for the Seattle market, and is based in Seattle. Shannon, thanks very much for coming on and joining me today.
Thank you. I'm excited.
All right. So before we jump into talking more about Seattle and what makes Seattle so unique and opportunities that are there for investors in unique, why don't you tell the audience and those listening a little bit about yourself and your background?
Oh, okay. Well, I like to call myself a recovering banker. So I was a longtime banker, financial advisor in Chicago, worked for Bank of America for a long time. And then in Nashville, Tennessee, I worked for UBS Financial Services, which, you know, by training, schooling, and work, I have been in the finance business for a long time. And then I found myself in Tacoma, Washington, which is just north of Seattle. For those people who are not familiar with the Puget Sound area, it's about 30 miles south of Seattle. And I was working for a mutual fund company and I didn't love it. And I had this girlfriend that just started working for Renters Warehouse. So I think you know Seth Stevens. So Seth had hired Aaron, and we had been working out together and our kids went to school together. And she said, "Shannon, I think this business would be great. I love Renters Warehouse. You should come talk to Seth." And I did. I didn't have my real estate license. I had no experience in real estate other than being sort of a real estate voyeur, if you will, and owning my own properties. But he said, go get your license and come back. And I did. A couple months later, I came back and I've been working with Aaron and Seth ever since.
Wow. Well, we might have to dig into that banking background a little bit. You probably have great insight on working with investors on financing properties and all the things that go into that. But it's an interesting background and a great story. And we're certainly happy you joined the Renters Warehouse family here. And you've been a great asset to us since you started and been doing a great job holding down the ship for us in Seattle. So it sounds like you owned some properties before. Were they just homes you lived in, or were they investment properties before you started working with Renters Warehouse?
Both. I've owned properties, both the ones I lived in Nashville and became an investment property. And then in Tacoma, where I live now, I own a home and an investment property here. So I've been, in that space as a DIY landlord.
Okay. Before. What drew you into buying your first investment home or transitioning to, owning investment real estate?
That's an excellent question. And really, it happened like so many other people that I see in the Seattleland area. It was accidental, right? Mm-hmm. I was in Nashville. My husband took a job in Tacoma. I moved to Tacoma. And we had a property that I was not ready to sell because it was in the perfect place in the 12 South area of Nashville. And we turned it into a rental that was very, very beneficial for us for a long time. We did end up selling it eventually, but it was a really great experience, even though I was far away. I used a property manager in Nashville. And so I can speak to a vast majority of the people that we work with in Seattle are sort of accidental landlords like I was.
Yeah. It's fascinating. So many people get into this business by accident, right? We talk a lot about how we cater to that accidental landlord or unintentional investor because they have a life event, like you just talked about. And sometimes it You don't want to let the property go yet, or sometimes you look and say, you know what, this could really work well as a rental long term and take advantage of the appreciation. I think right now in the world we live, such a great opportunity for people who are, you know, maybe moving up or relocating for work. You know, something like 90% of homeowners across the country have an interest rate under 3.5%. And so being able to keep that home a low payment with the increase in rents we've seen, you know, adds to your cash flow opportunity. And frankly, that mortgage almost has become as much of an asset, you know, as the house itself. And so we're seeing that more and more across our business for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, or mom or dad needs to go into maybe an assisted living and the house is paid off. Nobody really wants to get rid of it. Nobody wants to make decisions. You know, brothers and sisters can't quite figure it out, or, you know, whomever. And they're using these properties to help offset mom or dad's monthly expenses when they're in an assisted living. It's a great opportunity to help offset that, use, you know, some of mom and dad's money, hopefully that they've saved for this event. And you're still getting the appreciation in beautiful, I mean, Seattle, Puget Sound area is beautiful. So, you know, I like to help people keep the homes and then, you know, use it for whatever purposes they need it for.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Seattle. You know, we've been on the podcast here, taking a trip around the country and talking with you know, our leaders in all the markets about what makes their markets unique, and what makes some good investment opportunities in the short term or the long term. And every market is so different. And it's, and, you know, I know a lot about our markets, of course, having been working in them, but they've been fascinating conversations for me, learning about things that I didn't know. And I think Seattle is very unique in a lot of different ways. You know, it's certainly has some of the higher home prices, you know, in the country. It's certainly not number one, but it's a lot more expensive of a market, and which makes it, you know, certainly interesting. And I think a lot of people wouldn't think of it right away as a place where maybe I should go buy an investment property. But so let's talk about Seattle. What, you know, what makes, you know, Seattle unique, and what makes it a good place for a long-term real estate investor?
Yeah, well, Seattle is very unique. We call it the Puget Sound because we are on the sound. It's not really the ocean, but we have a large body of water that is our western border, essentially, right? So from everything from way up north in Everett all the way down to Olympia, which is our state capital, that's all of my territory. So we have a huge area. Our area that we work in is over five counties. Four million people, and two-thirds of all the population in Washington live on the west side of the state. So we have, you know, the reason that it's a good place to be is because everyone wants to live here. We have year-round sports. We have all kinds of industries that are really great. You know, you just have to look at, as an investor, you have to look at what your risk tolerance is and see where the price to rents work for you and how long you, before you can cash flow, you can handle, you know, right? So there's a lot of, there's so much opportunity here, but you do have to use somebody like Renters Warehouse, hopefully, that knows the market and can really speak to where the risks are and how to mitigate risks, because risk is not necessarily a deterrent to purchase. It's just an opportunity, right?
Right. Yeah. And I imagine, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about here on this podcast is, you know, a good place to invest in real estate is somewhere that's growing, that has a high quality of life that people want to be, they're moving into, there's great jobs, great industries, and that's what's going to secure a city or a state, you know, for the long run. And you know, I think that describes Seattle for sure. Every time I've been there and visited, it's a beautiful place to be. People love living there. You mentioned, you know, year-round sports for the kids, which I'm based in Minneapolis, and we don't necessarily have outdoor year-round sports. We have a lot of hockey in the winter, but you know, there's a lot to be said for that. And you know, we get the same thing in Phoenix. I was just talking to Nathan Green in Phoenix earlier today, and it's fascinating. But what, you know, what is the, you know, tell someone who's not as familiar with Seattle, about industry that's there, right? A lot of people probably know Microsoft is in Seattle, but who are the big employers? What's the draw for people moving into the Seattle market when it comes to jobs?
Yeah, well, we see so many people moving in from all parts of the country and actually all parts of the world, right? So you mentioned Microsoft. The other obvious one is Starbucks, right? But we have Boeing. We don't have their headquarters anymore, but we have huge plants for Amazon. We have distribution centers and plants for Amazon and Boeing. So we have aerospace, product, not only making, but distribution. We have the maritime industry. So I mentioned that we are on the water. Well, Tacoma and Seattle are two of the biggest ports in the whole country. So we have all kinds of goods coming in through our ports. Then our railroads are really busy, right? So then we have all of this distribution. We also have just amazing minds. We have Blue Origin here. We have SpaceX offices here. We have military. We have a huge joint. It's called Joint Base Lewis McChord, which is just south of Tacoma, where I am. We have REI, Starbucks, which I already mentioned. So it's worth mentioning twice since it is so big.
Yeah.
Costco in Kirkland. We have Kirkland brands. We just have all of these different industries that are very well paying jobs and all the support industries that go along with supporting those jobs in those distribution centers. So we have a really high standard of living, and it's a great place to live, not only for the year-round sports, but also the area and the good paying jobs that we have.
Yeah, that's fascinating. The number of large companies that everyone would know the name of that are based in or have large operations in Seattle, but also the diversity of the industry there, right? There's many cities and markets across the country where it's very heavy in, one industry or a couple of industries are very heavy in government and defense spending or something like that. Very diversified employment base. It creates a very stable environment and a lot of opportunity and good paying quality jobs, which is obviously as an investor, something you're looking for to ensure that your residents, are going to have, consistent employment and a great place to be. So with all that said, a lot of companies there, a lot of opportunity. What's been happening the last couple of years with house price appreciation and rent appreciation? So obviously through COVID, I think everyone by now knows the story. Many markets saw huge increases. Some markets actually saw, flat because some people were maybe moving to different parts of the country. But, post-COVID and maybe the new normal world we're living in, what's happening with home price appreciation and rent prices?
They skyrocketed here. 2021 to 2022, we had a huge sell-off because the price of homes was so high. We had a ton of sell-off of these investment properties too, right? So I pulled some numbers off of Redfin and Zillow, but between July of 2015 and July of 2023, the price of rent price double. It went up 50%, on a median average to $2,300. That's our median in the Puget Sound area. During that same time period for the price of the sale of a home, it doubled. So it went from $353,000 to almost $700,000 as a median price for homes in this area. So having said that, things have run up now with interest rates coming, going up from the 3%, right?
Yes.
It really, really cooled our market, and we haven't seen a lot of movement. So not a lot of buying, not a lot of selling. Renters are also staying put. We see a lot of just everyone's sort of looking around, looking for the Fed to see when interest rates might come down. But some of us who have been around and or remember our parents' interest rates, right? Yeah. They were at 13, 14%. So six and a half is really, it's probably where it should be. But most people don't want to hear that. I preach that all the time. but not everyone wants to hear that. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be at two or three anymore. But if and when the Fed, you know, they kept interest rates the same here in March, but they're indicating that into the summer months, they're probably going to lower it a couple basis points, you know, 25 basis points or so. I think that will jumpstart the sale market and might jumpstart, you know, the rental market and the sale for sale market kind of go in tandem, right? So they're not pegged and it's not one to one, but as people just start to move around while selling or buying homes, then the rental market also moves with that. So I anticipate it going, hopefully, really picking up over the summer months.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens this year with interest rates coming into an election year as well. I think there's a little, probably a little more pressure to be pushing things in the downward direction, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that highlights a challenge that you spoke about, you know, earlier in the episode around, you know, being able to cash flow these investments if you're buying today. If, you know, rents are up 50%, but home prices are up 100%, they've doubled.
Yeah.
Almost 700,000 for the median home price is very, very high. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, is there opportunity for a new investor to come into the market today to be able to find a house that provides cash flow? Or, you know, what are you seeing when you're working with people looking to buy, which you said there's not a lot happening right now, but, you know, what's the opportunity? Is there opportunity for people to come in and still achieve cash flow?
Absolutely. So the answer, just bold face, yes. And if they listen to me, now is the time to buy. Now is the time to buy, you know, especially in Tacoma in the South area. Tacoma at the end of last year passed a lot of rules in an effort to stem homelessness. They really, they passed some rules that made having investment properties in the city proper more challenging. Now, not impossible, but more challenging. And one of my favorite people to quote, Warren Buffett, he says, be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. So I think we're right now, you know, I know tons of people in Tacoma, and this is true for a lot of different areas. And I'll go through some of the cities that I think are really good places to buy, but Tacoma is one of those places right now. It's getting, it always gets the Seattle sort of, a trickle down, you know, as Seattle gets more and more expensive. Tacoma's only 30 miles south. It's still on the water. We have lots of fun things coming and going on, not only on the waterfront, but in the town. So lots of Seattleites come down here and buy homes that are cheaper. But so we have these regulations for the investment properties, and it's mostly around notification and rent increases, right? Well, we at Renters Warehouse have been dealing with this in Seattle for so long that we know how to do that. It's not impossible, but lots of people in the Tacoma and surrounding areas are just, I'm going to sell. And so right now, there's so much fear around kind of what's happening that they just don't know. You know, they're probably doing it themselves. They don't have somebody like Renters Warehouse or another very well-qualified property manager. Obviously, I would suggest Renters Warehouse, but to help them navigate through, this is not going to be hard. You just have to follow the rules. So right now, I'm constantly looking for properties in Seattle, or I'm sorry, in Tacoma, because there are people who are fearful and just don't want to deal with it. And there's tons of investment properties with tenants in place, which I love, right? We love tenants in place. You're cash flowing right away. Now, you know, I would always, again, back to my favorite thing to talk about, which is risk tolerance, right? So you just, you know, how long can you just break even, right? How long is this your first house or is this your fifth? And you can kind of help the ones that might be a little bit more expensive out a little, right? So I love to talk about properties, and now is the time, especially if you have cash on hand, because as you know, we didn't have a lot of investors, big investors come in when the market was booming, because we couldn't get the yields of 4%. We just couldn't here.
Right.
So there's not this, there wasn't a land grab, which is not a bad thing. So that's, don't use that as a bad term, yes. Of investors buying single family homes. So there's still a ton of opportunity here. They haven't been all locked up. Again, back to your risk tolerance. But if you've got cash on hand, or, you know, if it's been a rental for 2 years, there's different investment products that you can use. Or, you know, assumable loans. So maybe half the home price is an assumable loan at 3%, right? There's just so much going on right now. I mean, for anyone who will listen to me, are you listening? So is right now the time to buy.
That's
be greedy when people are being fearful.
So. Yeah. I like that quote, but, like Warren Buffett.
Yeah, I love that Warren Buffett. If I could get away with wearing the same suit every day and eating the same thing, I would, but I can't. So I'm not going to.
You could pull it off. You could pull it off. So
it's the eating the same thing. I don't think I could.
You mentioned, you know, some different cities or different pockets inside of Tacoma or Seattle in between that might be a good place for an investor. So someone who's knows very little about Seattle, who's listening today thinking, okay, this sounds interesting. Sounds like a great market. I do have some cash I want to invest. I'd like to be in a higher end market, maybe look for some great appreciation over time. Where would you steer them to, and what makes some of these areas unique, a good investment?
Yeah. So I would steer them to Kent. So it's about 20 minutes from Seattle, just east, southeast of Seattle. So Kent has Amazon distribution centers. It has large railroad areas that these goods and services are coming to. It has tons and tons of industry. It has a Boeing plant there. So there is, and what I wanted to say about the industry in Seattle, it's not just $200,000 incomes, right? The salaries. These range. We have a huge range of income for somebody who may not, you know, be just a high school graduate, maybe right. Doesn't have an undergraduate degree. There's a ton of jobs in the industries that are here that are very varied. So we have people who have really good jobs that, you know, are looking for a slightly lower cost rent, not the big rents in Kent and in Kirkland or whatever. But so I wanted to make that point earlier that we have a nice variety of incomes. But so Kent has distribution centers. It's close enough to Seattle to be sort of, you know, it's not, I wouldn't call it a suburb, but it's, you know, just it's close enough. They have, I pulled some numbers on Kent also. So their average rent is almost $1,600. Days on market for the last year is 10. So if you bought a home for rent in Kent, days on market, according to Zillow, is 10. And they had 43 leads per home.
Wow.
So what that tells me is that there is a lot of interest in Kent, right? You know, you barely put the house on it, you know, when they're doing these reportings, right? And it's probably snapped up in one or two showings. And so that is really, really good for homeowners. You know, so they don't have the downtime of having nobody in their home, right? So 10 days on market. Right next to Kent, just south of Kent, is Auburn. Has the same area. It's a little bit cheaper. It's a little bit farther away from Seattle. I would look in Auburn. They have, you know, I didn't pull the numbers for every single one of these, but it's, you know, I'm picking areas that I really like. And then they're very near surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. There's a town called Maple Valley. Again, a little bit farther east and south. They are well known for their schools. People move to Maple Valley for the schools. The home prices are high because of the schools, but people want to live there. So investment properties that we see in Maple Valley and Covington. So there's all these little sort of towns around these bigger towns like Kent that really lend themselves. You could be working in Kent and live in Maple Valley, and it's still only a 15, 20 minute commute because you're not going I-5 into the city, right? So you're still having the really good, you know, standard of living, good schools. And not that Covington, Maple Valley, wonderful places to have investment properties. And you can still find things that are reasonable. I am not saying you're going to get 10% yield. You're just not going to.
Right. And you bring up a good point with one of those markets. I don't remember which one it was, but you talked about the schools. Maple Valley. Also something that investors should be looking at when they're buying homes. Yeah. I like to tell an investor when they come to me and say, you know what, this is my first investment. Like, what should I buy? And my answer is generally buy something that you would want to live in. You know, you got to make the numbers work, but you're looking for, that's what residents want. If they have a family, they're looking for great schools, great recreational activities, safe communities, those types of things. So school district is very important when you're looking at longer term investments. So talk a little bit for the listeners about school districts in general in Seattle. Like, where do they rank? Are people flocking to this area for schools, or, you know, just take us through the school situation.
They're not flocking to all parts of Seattle for the schools, at least public schools. What I find interesting about this whole area is that there are a ton of private schools. So there is the typical public school system, and some are really good, like Maple Valley, and some are less. But they have been offset and augmented, it's probably the better way to say that, augmented by a lot of excessively priced. So these aren't like super, super expensive private schools, but, you know, depending on your religion or what you want, your kids want to study, if it's STEM or whatever it is, we have a lot of different choices when it comes to education. So, you know, I would not say that people are necessarily moving to Seattle for our public school system, but there are pockets like Maple Valley, Graham in the south, and then north of the city, Everett has a good school system. So there are places that you can find. And then there are, the school system is augmented by a lot of different kinds of private schooling.
Makes sense. Makes sense. And if you're listening to this, this is why you need to make sure you're working with a professional when you're looking for your investment property, because these markets, well, a lot of similarities across the Seattle metro, if you want to call it that. There's also individual areas that are going to have their unique pieces to them, whether it's what type of industries are there, jobs, location to amenities. School districts vary by city and district. And someone like Shannon and her team in Seattle can walk you through all of those different areas in Seattle and make sure that you're finding a community to invest in that's going to be good over the long term, going to produce great results in the short run, and make you feel comfortable all along the way. So
absolutely. And we'd love to work with you. We'd love to have you.
So if you get a call today from a new investor and they ask the question, we kind of covered where, and there's a lot of variables in Seattle for where, but what type of home should people be looking at? And I'm thinking things like physical characteristics, number of bedrooms, bathrooms, garage, no garage. What's the in-demand property in the area that you work?
Yeah. I think it's pretty typical, like a 3-2, three bedrooms, two and a half baths. We have a lot because we have a lot of land. We're landlocked by the sea or the sound on one side, but we've gone the other. There's a lot of new construction going on and a lot of areas that were built out maybe 10 years ago that are great places to look. So the home is only about 10 years old. It's in a nice community. They probably have parks inside. But so you're looking for ones that are surrounded by nice things that your kids can ride their bike to. So they can have the, you know, sort of the traditional sort of suburb, but still be close to a big city like Tacoma, which is the third largest city in Washington, or Seattle, which is the largest. But I would say three bedrooms, two and a half baths, fenced backyard. Everyone has a dog. 70% of renters in the great state of Washington have dogs. Wow. And they want to bring their dogs to your house. Right. So, you know, a fenced backyard that everyone wants the American dream, even the renter. And I think that's what Renter's Warehouse does really well, is bring everyone's version of the American dream of having a single family home. Even if you don't want to actually own that home, we help bring it to the renters and live their own version of the American dream.
Yeah, we're seeing across the country, more and more people choosing to rent as a lifestyle, as a financial necessity, but also there's a lot of people who it's not a financial necessity. They just don't want to own a home. And it's interesting. I got into the single family rental business 20 years ago, and being a renter was almost a derogatory term, right? Like, oh, geez, you rent, right? You're not in a place to be able to buy a home. And that has changed tremendously, really, since 2008, 2009, 2010, and the Great Recession, the real estate downturn, when more people had to rent, they were maybe forced out of their homes and in tough mortgage situations or whatever it might be. Yep. And that's really just changed a lot. And I think that's a wonderful thing, because it really doesn't matter. You can have the same amenities as we've been talking about, location, community, schools, family environment, if that's what you're looking for, renting as well as you could owning. And you can, you know, if you're a young professional couple, single, and want to be closer to the city, there's better opportunities for that. And so I'm happy that that change is happening. And it's a great point you bring up. One final thing that you brought up that I want to talk about, dig into a little bit, is pets. You know, 70%, you said, of renters in Seattle have dogs. That's a huge number. And I think a lot of real estate investors are sometimes fearful of allowing pets in their home because they've heard the horror stories, or they assume the worst. It's going to be a lot of wear and tear. It's going to be expensive to replace, or all of the things that they might be thinking. So let's dispel some of that, because you obviously rent a lot of homes to people with pets. What's the process for that? What should an investor or landlord think about when renting, opening up their home to people with pets? And what's the reality there of, you know, the outcome when you're renting it to someone with a dog?
Dogs and cats too, right? So cats do damage also. So the reality is that A, you have to be working with a professional that knows the area that you're in. Because in Washington State, every single township has a different rule about security deposits, about how much you can assess for dog or cat damage. So you have to be working with a professional. So let me help dispel all of these things and get everyone to be open to dogs and cats by saying, you know, use Renter's Warehouse to help you. Make sure that you're navigating and collecting as much security deposit, dog deposit as you can, cat deposit. And that your property is an investment. It is, you know, not the home that you raised your kids in. It's not your mom and dad's home that you were raised in. It's an investment, and you have to look at it as an investment. You have to make sure that you're keeping, you know, some money on the side to do any repairs. It's an investment. This is a business. And so I do like to talk to all owners, because they, you know, they love these homes that they've bought and they've lived in, or their mom has lived in for 40 years. They hold them very, very dear. To get the best outcome for both you and your family and generational wealth is to have dogs and cats and be open to that. But you have to make sure that you're collecting as much security deposit as you can, dog deposit again, or cat deposit. Pet rent is another way around. So lots of cities in our area have capped the amount of deposit that you can collect, but they have not capped how much you can collect in pet rent. So it's, you know, working with the advisor, working with the property managers to make sure that we're collecting as much as we can within reason, obviously, because you want to make your home accessible to people who want to live there. And then we at Renter's Warehouse provide an inspection during the term of the lease. I always really advise owners to make sure that about 6 months before the lease is coming due, that we're going to do an inspection to see what that house, see what's going on in there. Do you really want to re-rent this home to this particular family or whomever with dogs and cats? And, you know, just to be very proactive, you can't expect Renter's Warehouse or the tenants to, you know, make it pristine all the time. We hope for that. And, you know, but be proactive, ask for inspections before you sign a new lease, and just know what your property looks like. And, you know, continue to to have the stewardship over that property while it appreciates, while somebody else pays your mortgage or helps mom and dad in the assisted living. But you still need to be active and make sure that the home is being taken care of. And I think the best way to do that is to have inspections regularly, increase rent regularly, and really have, don't take a hands-off approach.
Right.
Is what I would say. But yeah, absolutely rent to cats and dogs, because you'll get more rent. Your home will be vacant for less amount of time. Your ROI, your return on investment, is much better. And as long as you've, you know, kept some money aside, if something happens and the security deposit or the pet deposit doesn't quite cover it, you have that slush fund. So I do like to talk to all owners about that.
Yeah. And ultimately, more often than not, you know, people are taking great care of these properties they're living in. They want to live in a nice home, and pets aren't doing additional damage. It'll happen sometimes. That's what that additional pet deposit you talked about or pet rent is for. But pets are becoming more and more common and popular, especially after COVID. We've seen a huge increase. And so making homes available to families or residents with pets is certainly helpful. And, you know, I think the big rumor to dispel is more often than not, the house is in great condition when they move out. So
absolutely. And it fosters that, you know, that family environment of having it, whether you have kids or not, that family unit when you have cats and dogs and birds and whatever else.
Right.
Lizards.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this was fascinating and interesting, learning a lot about Seattle. I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing your time with us this afternoon. And everyone who's listening, if you liked this episode, please make sure you hit that like button, subscribe to the Rent Estate Podcast. We want to continue to bring useful information to you around residential real estate investing tips and tricks. Share it with others. We appreciate your support and everyone who's watching and listening. And Shannon, thanks again for sharing your insight with us and all things Seattle.
Wonderful. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thanks. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Rent Estate Podcast with your host, Kevin Ortner. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to rentestate.com for a free rental property analysis and learn how you can list, invest, and rent all under one roof.